Let's read together Genesis 27, verses 30 through 40. Now in this section, Esau returns from his hunting trip and discovers that Jacob has taken away the patriarchal blessing. We also see in these verses that Isaac finally submits to the will of God in reference to which son should receive the blessing. Genesis 27, beginning at verse 30. Then it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." Let's consider a few background notes, first of all. In Genesis 25, we read that Esau foolishly sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of lentil stew. Now here in Genesis 27, Isaac is wrongly trying to undo that transaction by planning to give the patriarchal blessing to his favorite son, Esau. It was on the occasion of Esau's return from hunting some wild game for Isaac's favorite meal. Meanwhile, Rebekah and Jacob were able to get Isaac to give Jacob the blessing, but they did it by deception. In verse 39, some of your translations make it sound like Esau is receiving a great blessing also. "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth." That phrase should probably be translated, "Behold, your dwelling shall be away from the fatness of the earth." So this was not a large blessing that Isaac was giving Esau. Esau's descendants settled in Edom, southeast of the Dead Sea. The land of Edom has never been as fertile as the land of Canaan. At the end of verse 40, Esau is told that when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. During the times of the kings, periodically, Edom was able to successfully revolt. And of course, the Herods at the time of Christ were Edomites. So this prediction did come true. Let's move to our doctrinal point now for this section. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. Now, some of you might be saying, "Well, now wait a minute. How can you say by faith, you know, Isaac blessed Jacob? It looks like Isaac was tricked into blessing Jacob." Well, I agree. It looks that way. But we can still say that the Bible teaches that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. How can we say that? Because the Bible states it in black and white scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 20, we read, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Now you might say, "Well, now where do we see the faith here in Genesis 27? I think we see it in verse 33. "Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed.'" I think it's right there. It was at this point that Isaac realized he'd been overruled by God. Isaac knew right from the time that the boys were born that the older Esau was to serve the younger Jacob. Genesis 25, verse 23. Finally, it's at this point that Isaac realized that he had been wrong to try and circumvent the will of God. He submits to the will of God here. Because of this change of heart, Isaac is credited with having faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. Now, what about practical application from this section? Beware, tears are not necessarily a sign of repentance. Beware, tears are not necessarily a sign of repentance. Verse 38, once again. And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. It looks like Esau has repented. It looks like he's changed his mind concerning the bad attitude he had for all those years concerning the things of God. But again, from the book of Hebrews, we know that this is not true. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. "For you know that afterward, when he, Esau, wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." And we know from what follows here in Genesis 27 that Esau did not repent because he planned to kill Jacob. Beware, tears are not necessarily a sign of repentance. I'm sure you realize there is a difference between remorse and repentance. Remorse includes sorrow and a sense of guilt, but not necessarily change of heart and mind. Repentance involves a change of heart and mind and a turning from the wrong. Some time ago, I was involved in a marriage counseling situation. There was plenty of remorse, but no repentance. Unfortunately, the marriage ended in divorce. Beware, tears are not necessarily a sign of repentance. Now, there's certainly an application here for salvation, isn't there? You can be sorry for your sins. You can cry about your sins. You can have a sense of deep guilt about your sins. But this will not save you. There must be repentance. Remember this lesson from Esau. Beware, tears are not necessarily a sign of repentance. Let's move now to the last few verses of this chapter. In this last section of the chapter, Rebekah gets Isaac to send Jacob away from home with hopes that Esau's fury will subside. Genesis 27, verses 41 through 46. "So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.' And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, 'Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?' And Rebekah said to Isaac, 'I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?'" Now, what about some background notes for this section? Because of Esau's fury, Rebekah urged Jacob to get out of town quickly before Esau vented his anger. What does Rebekah mean in verse 45 when she says, "Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" She's afraid of a blood feud. In those days, if there was a murder, then someone would assume the role of the blood avenger and kill the murderer. So Rebekah sees the possibility of both her sons being taken from her. In verse 46, we see that Rebekah manipulates her husband again in order to get Isaac to send Jacob away. The daughters of Heth here refer to the Hittite women who were living amongst the Canaanites at that time. In chapter 26, verses 34 and 35, we read that Esau married two Hittite women, and they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Rebekah tells Isaac that she doesn't want this for Jacob, and thus she persuades Isaac to send Jacob away. Now, what about a doctrinal point for this section? Bitterness led Esau to hate Jacob. Bitterness led Esau to hate Jacob. What a contrast to Isaac. When Isaac finally realized he was wrong, he changed. He submitted to the will of God, and by faith, he blessed Jacob. But here, we find that was not so in the case of Esau. What was the bottom line for Esau's hate for Jacob? I think the passage that we read before in Hebrews 12 gives us the answer. Verse 15 there in Hebrews 12 seems to indicate that Esau's problems stemmed from a root of bitterness. Esau was bitter because Jacob had tricked him into selling the birthright. Esau was bitter because Jacob had taken the material benefits of the patriarchal blessing away from him. Bitterness led Esau to hate Jacob. Well, we might say, well, what do you expect anyway? He'd been ripped off twice by his brother. But wait a minute. Esau could have admitted he foolishly sold his birthright. Esau could have submitted to the revealed will of God that the older shall serve the younger. Hard to take, yes, but not impossible. Now, the same is true in our lives. God may permit us to go through some bitter experiences in life. People taking advantage of us, no recognition, unfair treatment, etc., etc. But these bitter experiences do not have to result in a root of bitterness in us. When you realize that God is in control of all things, as we see in this chapter, even our bitter experiences do not have to result in a root of bitterness within us. Hebrews 12:15 says that the root of bitterness can spring up and defile many people. Right now, I know several Christians who are bitter Christians. They've been through bitter experiences, but they've let that become a root of bitterness. And I can assure you that their comments and attitudes have defiled many others. I hope that's not true of anyone here this morning. Remember this warning from Scripture. Bitterness led Esau to hate Jacob. Now, what about some more practical application from this section? Don't expect happiness if you cheat to get it. Don't expect happiness if you cheat to get it. Rebekah and Jacob both cheated to obtain what they thought would bring them happiness, but it only brought heartache and long-lasting problems. Even though God overruled and accomplished his will through all these wheelings and dealings, there was no happiness. Rebekah thought that Jacob would only be gone for a few weeks. Jacob was gone for more than 20 years. Rebekah never saw her favorite son again. And Jacob had nothing but trouble and unhappiness all his days. Yes, God blessed him materially, and Jacob did grow spiritually, but the courses Jacob had to take in the school of God were not happy courses. Don't expect happiness if you cheat to get it.